May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. 136.
Thank you.
Our reading is three psalms, Psalm 27, 28 and 30. 27, 28 and 30. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up mine hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them, and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up for ever. Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee for ever. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, do come now and undertake for us as we seek to worship thee this evening. Oh, we pray that we may be led by thee in each part of this service, and that everything may be done to thy honour, to thy glory. Oh, may our precious Jesus be exalted, both in our hearts and in our worship. And, O Lord, we do seek that thou would abide with us, as thou didst those that journeyed to Emmaus, that we may be favoured to feel thy sacred presence with us. O Lord, one said, what is the house to me, unless the master there I see? Nor we would come with the desire of those Greeks of old when they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And oh, we pray thou wilt shut the world out this evening, Lord, and may we be shut in with thee. And may we be favoured to hear thy still small voice like Elijah did. And oh, may our fervent petition be, speak for thy servant here. Dear Lord, may we have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, how we need thee to make us real, to make us right. Oh, to give us that real religion thou dost give to thy people. May we truly be amongst those that are born again, that hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt blot out all our many, many sins. May we have that true broken heart and contrite spirit, a heart to weep and mourn over our sin and after thee, a heart to plead and wrestle for mercy, a heart, Lord, that is truly softened by thy grace. And oh, may we know thy pardoning love within. Oh, that thou wouldst wash us, in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. And O Lord, may we be given grace and heavenly diligence to make our calling and election sure. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt go before us in life's journey. Oh, do prepare us for thy will. May we be given grace to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. Lord, one of old said, let me not murmur or repine under these trying strokes of thine. But while I feel afflictions roll, be still and know that thou art God. We seek for grace, dear Lord, to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. Oh, that we might ever be humble followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. That we may be humble walkers and not ready talkers. May we be amongst those that endure to the end and that hold on their way. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and meet the cases of thy dear people this evening. Lord, thou knowest each saint's a peculiar case. Let us see all they stand in need of, dear Lord, before they even ask or think. And we pray that thou wilt come and suit thy word to every sinner's case. May none be left out, Lord, or forgotten by thee. But may those that are in the depths be raised into the height. Those in bondage, Lord, set at liberty. Oh, we pray that there may be in these dark days many of thy dear children set free. Oh, that thou wouldst say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. Do remember, Lord, those that may feel to be out of the secret, who come and sweetly assure them that thou hast put them in that narrow way, that thou hast chosen them, that thou hast redeemed them, and that thou hast an eternal love and favour toward them. We pray for those heavenly confirmations. Oh, that thou wouldst confirm thy word. Confirm thy work. Confirm our souls, Lord, that we are thine and that thou art ours. And oh, do confirm the exercises of thy people that are real. Dry up all that that's only flesh. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt seal thy sweet promises home to our souls. And may thy word and thy sacred promises be life and power to our souls. And we do pray, Lord, for those in affliction's pathway, that thou wilt come and heal them if it's thy will. Those in weakness and those unable to gather, Lord, because of their advanced age, do come and visit them and remember them with the favour thou bearest to thy people. And Lord, we pray for a sweet evening time blessing to be given to them. that they may prove thy sweet promise that at evening time it shall be light. Remember those that have heavy burdens, to help them each, Lord, to cast them all upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet, for thou hast promised to manage all by the way unto the end. Those who've got impossibilities, Lord, and things too hard for them, who help them to bring them to thee. For thou hast said, the cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. And oh, we seek for thy help to bring everything to thy dear feet and to leave them with thee. Dear Lord, do remember the dear young people, do help them in their daily walk, whether at school or work, college or university, Lord, to undertake for them. Help them to commit their way to them, to look to thee for everything. And may they be guided in their relationships, and that thou wilt provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives, if it would please thee. And may there be those raised up from among them that shall ask for the old paths and cleave to the narrow way. And may they be like Ruth of old and keep close to the handmaidens of the heavenly Boaz, to hear prayer that's put up for them. Keep them, Lord, from this world and all its snares and attractions. And oh, do bless the dear little ones, Lord, the babes and the dear young ones. Lord, we fear what they may be spared to see if time lasts. We beg of thee to keep them, preserve them, watch over them. And oh, may they be raised up to be vessels of divine mercy, those that shall be useful in their day and generation. And may there be, Lord, those pillars raised up that shall be useful in Zion. Remember this halls of truth, we pray for thee to pour out thy spirit among them. We would bless and praise thee for all thou hast done. And may it please thee to yet add to them in the church precious souls. May there be yet again a moving of the waters. The love of Christ constrain thy dear children, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. And may it please thee, dear Lord, to increase the congregation too. And may there be many born again, both in this sanctuary, in this village, around this area and throughout the land. And may it please thee to add to the church's precious souls, such as should be saved. We beg of thee to work and prosper the ministry of thy dear servants, and may that which is so often sown in weakness be raised in power. Grant to thy dear servants those souls to their hire and seals to their ministry. Oh, that there may be yet real fruit manifested, dear Lord. May we not just beat the air this evening or spend our strength for naught. And may each of thy servants have those sweet encouragements. They labour not in vain nor spend their strength for naught. Remember any that we may forget or leave out, Lord, don't ever forget any of them. come where they each are, and help the deacons and guide and direct them in all things, and bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Do bless thy precious word to each of our souls. May it be life and power to us, we do beseech thee. And we would praise thee for all the mercies of providence, the mercies of grace, and all thy goodness and favours, unworthy as we are, dear Lord. We pray for suitable weather for the gathering in of the harvest. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the sunshine and for thy goodness and favour to us in spite of all the sins of this nation. We beg of thee that there may be a harvest time in our souls and throughout Zion. And, O Lord, do appear in this nation. We pray for thy rich blessing upon our Queen and the royal family. And do remember them, Lord, and bring them to earnestly seek thy face. And may there be seen thy hand working even in our leaders. And we beg of thee to hear the prayers that are put up for thy appearing in the nation. And do bring us as a land once again to fear thee and to seek thee and to serve thee. May all the wickedness and sin be put down, and righteousness rule and reign in this land. In the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still, to anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. Touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. May we be the Lord's messenger this night, in the Lord's message. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, all our many, many sins, and wash us in that precious, precious blood of Jesus. We ask it for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? 957.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 27 and the 9th verse. Psalm 27 and verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. The 27th Psalm and verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. How real the prayers of David were that are recorded in God's holy word. And not only do they express his soul's sincere feeling, but they express in precious words the inmost longings and desires of God's dear people even in 2013. He had to go through some very deep and profound things, did David. But out of them came some very sacred prayers and desires. And what a mercy in your heart and mine if the same language is found in us. Now I want us help to look a little at this word, to introduce the subject, we need really to look at the previous verse, because the Lord had spoken to him. He said, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." The Lord has bidden his dear people to seek him. And it is only those that are truly born of God that will, in reality, seek the Lord. It's a wonderful occupation, really, seeking the God of heaven. And here, the Lord wonderfully speaks to him, and has spoken to him many times before, "Seek ye my face." Are you, am I, amongst those that do seek the face of the Lord? And this seeking of his face is not just in word, it's in the inmost longings of the soul of the child of God. We are told by the wise men that they that seek me, the Lord said, early shall find me. And all to be, and may you dear young people be early seekers of the Lord in life, in your early days, truly seeking his face. Jesus, in his sermon on the mount, he said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him." What a sacred thing that the promise still stands today. Of course, there are many things the child of God will have to seek for, and they have to seek it from the Lord himself. And he alone can provide all that the seeking soul needs. I often think of dear Mary Magdalene, you know. She was an earnest seeker and an early seeker of the Lord. You know what a lesson there is to us in her case. She went up early to the sepulchre. Such was the longing and desire in her heart to find her precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And she's there early seeking him. And who was it that should find him? It was that dear woman. Oh, it was. She found him. And then we think of the spouse in the Song of Solomon, where she sought him upon her bed, but she found him not. But she didn't settle down and rest there, did she? She went out into the streets and lanes of the city, and she said to the watchman, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" And then we read this, "She found him whom her soul loveth." You know, real seekers will be finders. Oh, they will. And here the Lord bids his dear servant David, "Seek ye my face." In times of trouble, times of opposition, times of temptation, seek ye my face. It's a very clear command, isn't it? We often hear about the commandments of the Lord, but I hadn't thought of this before, but this, you know, is a very clear command. And it may be in things that burden you and exercise you this evening, what are you doing in them? Are you trying to fathom them out yourself or work things out for your own ends? Or are you truly seeking the Lord? Because the commandment is clear. Seek ye my face. Well, what a wonderful response there was in the heart of David, wasn't it? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The first thing is, David had got a heart religion. He didn't say that he would seek the Lord with his carnal mind or with his just his natural lips, did he? He said, my heart said, unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is that the response in your heart and mine this evening? My heart said. A heart that is taught of the Lord, a heart that longs for the Lord, a heart that is truly seeking him, will say, just what David did, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There was no doubt in the heart of David about this. And may it be so in your heart and mine. May we be continual seekers of the living God of Israel. But these seekers, you see, will know the hidings of the Lord's face. And this is what our text speaks of. Hide not thy face far from me. This is a personal thing, a personal desire and longing. Lord, it's me. Hide not thy face from me. We want to feel it personally. We want to see thy face personally. We find others that have been favoured to see thy face, but we want to see it ourselves. Now how can the child of God see his face? By living faith. Faith will ever want to view the face of the dear Redeemer. But oh, there'll be times where he hides his face. And these times when he hides his face are very searching to the child of God. You know, in the early days of our espousal, like with the bride in the Song of Solomon, we were favoured with sweet glimpses of his sweet face. But the more we go on in the journey, the more he seems to hide his face. We read in, I think it's the 104th Psalm, thou hidest thy face, and we are troubled. You know, the Lord is hid from the wicked. What does the word say through the apostle to the church? If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. And the Lord is hid from the ungodly, and will be till the day of judgment, when they will all have to stand, and you and I too, before that judgment seat of Christ. But this hiding of thy, for the Lord's face from his people, hide not thy face far from me, it is known purely by God's dear children. They know when he reveals his lovely face, and they know when he hides it. This is where the real child of God is so different from just professors of religion, because they say, oh, but we've got the Lord with us, we know his lovely face, but they don't ever speak about him hiding his face. Now, I want to look at a few things why the Lord does hide his face from his dear people. This word has been very real to me all this week, and I tried to preach at home from it on Thursday, and it's lived in me. Hide not thy face far from me. Is that your soul's desire tonight? Well, why does the Lord hide his face? Well, first of all, the reasons he hides his face is one, he hides his face from us when we sin and grieve him. There were many times with the children of Israel as they went through the wilderness where they sinned against him, and he hid his face from them. You see, our sins and our iniquities testify against us, and he hides his face. And it troubles the child of God, like I mentioned in 104 Psalm, thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. And it may be there's one here tonight, the Lord seems to be hiding his face from your poor soul, and hiding his face in your exercise and things that concern you, hiding his face for not answering your prayers as you long for him to, hiding his face and not bringing to fruition the promises that you may have sealed in your heart, and he hides his face. There are things the Lord does hide from his people. I was thinking while you were singing, it came to me of, I think it was Elijah, in the time of crisis, and what did the dear prophet say? And the Lord hath hid it from me. And there are times where the Lord does hide things from us, but you see the hidings of his face. Now think about our sin. He hides his face, and we're troubled because of all those sins there are within, of thought, of word, of deed, the sins of heart, the sins of our most holy things, and he hides his face. And we're troubled. We read in Psalm 30, didn't we, this evening, where he speaks the same blessed language. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Another reason when the Lord hides his face is because of our unbelief. How often we're doubting, aren't we? How often we're plagued with unbelief and the Lord hides his face? Because of our unbelief. And it will trouble the child of God. Because the Lord is hiding his face, and you know this because of the unbelief there is in you. Well, let me just remind you of dear Thomas, how the Lord was hid from him. Unbelief crept in. He heard what the other disciples said, that Christ had risen. And they'd beheld him, they'd viewed him, a risen Christ. But Thomas said, except I put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You see, unbelief immediately showed itself. doubting what they'd said. We know there is a wonderful side to it. The desire there was in him to put his hand by faith into the side of the dear Redeemer and put the fingers into the print of the nails. So don't misunderstand me on that. The desire is good. But oh, look at the unbelief. You think of the children of Israel. How many times the Lord hid his face from them because of unbelief. And then another reason he hides his face from his dear people is because they may be living near the world instead of living near the Saviour. You know, it's so easy to get entangled in the things of this world, and the Lord hides his face. Does it trouble you? Lord, keep me near thy wounded side. Keep me from in any way wandering from thee, grieving thee. Well, could the apostle say, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God? You know, when the Lord's grieved, he hides his face. Thou hide not thy face far from me. You see, David could look back the times he had sinned. He could look back the times when he grieved the Lord. He looked back to the times where he became prayerless and unexercised. The Lord hid his face. But oh, think of this prayer and desire. Is it yours and is it mine tonight? It will be to those that he's hiding his face from. Your prayer will be just like David. Hide not thy face far from me. But then, let's look at it from the other side. What David was really desiring here was this. The Lord would reveal himself to him. Go back to Thomas. How wonderfully the Saviour revealed himself to Thomas, didn't he? He showed him those pierced hands that had done so many miracles, so many wonders. Those pierced hands that were nailed to Calvary's tree. And he showed him the pierced side of the dear Redeemer. And what was the wonderful response in the heart of Thomas? My Lord and my God. That's a very sacred hymn, 399 I think it is, where the hymn writer prayed, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh, to faith, there's such a beauty in the face of Jesus. To see his lovely face. Is that your prayer tonight, Jesus? Reveal thyself to me. In other words, don't hide thyself, Lord, any longer. Reveal thyself. Show me thy lovely face. You know, the spouse knew what it was, didn't they? To view his lovely face. You read through the Song of Solomon. The beauty she saw in it. You know, those that may have a loved one that's miles away, and maybe another part of the earth, and they don't see them for a long time. They may hear their voice on the telephone or through communications, but you know, if they returned back to this land and those loved ones they have, they long to see their face, don't they? To see their face again. And think about it spiritually. When the Lord withdraws like he did from the spouse, how precious it was when she was able to see his face again. Oh yes, a glimpse of him, you see. I love that couplet of the hymn where the dear hymn writer said, had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon, vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle dies at noon. Hide not thy face far from me. You look how dear Mary Magdalene, we named her just now in that seeking of the Lord, but you think how he was hid from her. She knew so much nearness and communication with the dear Lord Jesus because she lived so physically near him and adored him. But in her soul, after the resurrection, she wanted to find him. Now, when she went into that garden, the first thing was to the sepulchre, the angels that sat on the stone rolled away. Those angels said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Are the one here tonight weeping? You want him to reveal himself to you? And then she turns and sees Jesus. And he speaks the same to her. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener. He was hid from her, you see. She needed him to reveal himself. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Not with our mortal eyes shall we behold the Lord, but with that eye of faith. And then he spoke to her, Mary. Immediately he revealed to her himself, his identity. He was no longer hid from her, you see. Mary. And immediately she wanted to embrace him. And he said to her, didn't he, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. And listen to the language, and your Father, to my God and your God. Oh, it must have been a wonderful seal to her, wasn't it? To have such things spoken from the lips of the dear Saviour. Now do we long for this? It's not the longing of the world, is it? It's the longing of the child of God. Hide not thy face far from me. Just one more brief illustration of the Lord revealing himself. You take the two that journeyed to Emmaus. You know, he drew near and went with them. And they were favoured to feel his sweet presence. But you know, we read this, their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. He was hid from them. They knew his sweet presence, but they hadn't yet viewed his lovely face. And it wasn't until they got to the destination of Emmaus, where he took bread and broke it among them. And as soon as he broke that bread, you know, they knew him. He was no longer hid. And maybe for sacred passages you read in the Holy Word of God, and the Lord seems to hide himself and hide his face. But you know, when the Holy Spirit reveals a precious Jesus, maybe in the sacred Psalms or any part of God's Holy Word, then you can view him. Hide not thy face far from me. You see, this was a real pleading and entreating of the Lord that he would not hide his face any longer. It may be in things that really exercise you tonight. Lord, hide not thy face far from me. Oh, do come and reveal thyself in it. And reveal thyself to me. It's me, Lord. Personally, I need it, you see. Now look in your heart and mind. Do we need this? Do we long for this in our own souls? Hide not thy face far from me. Well, much further could be said on this. And then he says this, put not thy servant away in anger. There's a few things here I just want to set before you as help. First of all, the Lord's anger is ever toward the wicked. It's a solemn thought, you know. His anger's ever toward them. The day will come when, because of his anger toward them, he will cast them into the bottomless pit forever, into hellfire. May we never be left to be among those whose anger God is continually toward. But here, David is speaking of times where he knew the anger of God. God's anger toward him because of his disobedience, because of his wanderings from the Lord, because of his sin, because of his carnality, because of his rebelliousness. It's a solemn thing, you know, to feel the anger of God. But the anger God has toward his people, and let's be very clear in it, is not the anger that he has to the wicked. It's like a loving mother when her children or one or the other or more may do wrong. She may be angry with them, but that anger is not a lasting anger. She corrects them and she rebukes them in love. And here the Lord shows David a little of his anger, but that anger is not eternal. It's to correct David. It's to bring him back to book. It's to bring him back from what he's wandered from wandering from the Lord. It's a correction, really. We read, don't we, in the Word of God, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, David, because of his sin and his wanderings from the Lord, feared that the anger of the Lord would be poured upon him. We read, don't we, in the following psalm, where he begins the psalm, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." He feared that he'd be like them that go down into the pit. And he fears here because of the anger. He says, "Put not thy servant away in anger." But I must look at it in another way. You know, this is what David knew he deserved. And I believe the Lord will teach us each of this. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the Lord shows us what we truly deserve. And that is his eternal wrath because of our sin. What does the psalmist say? "Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, neither hast thou rewarded us according to our iniquities." Lord, all we deserve is thy wrath, thy anger because of our sin. That's all we deserve, but because he's a God of mercy and a God of compassion to his dear people, he won't put them away in his anger. Well, that's what they fear he will, because of sin. "Put not thy servant away in anger." He's pleading with the Lord. The Lord would have mercy upon him, you see, and not put him away in his anger. But then, and I must be brief because of the time, but there's something very sacred about this. You see, David, he looks back, and as I have said maybe before here, faith will look forward. That sacred hymn, and I often refer to it because it is so precious really to one's poor soul. When the hymn writer said, speaking of faith being the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight, breaks through the clouds of flesh and sense and dwells in heavenly light. And this is the verse. "It sets time past in present view, brings distant prospects home of things 1,000 years ago or 1,000 years to come." These desires in this text, "Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger," faith was looking to the dear Lord Jesus. Faith was looking forward, longing for the Lord to hide not his face any longer, longing for the Lord to not put him away in his anger. But then faith looks back. And here in the concluding part of this text, and may this be of sweet comfort, it was to David, to each of us here this evening. "Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Faith looks back to how the Lord had helped him. Now, poor soul, you may be in a dark place tonight and you're pleading what's in our text. But you look back. Who has helped you hitherto? What does the hymn writer say? "Brought safely by his hand thus far, why dost thou now give place to fear? Thou hast been my help." When the Apostle Paul was brought before King Agrippa, one of the sacred things he said was parallel to what David says here in this text. having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He could look back to see how the Lord had helped him. The hymn writer knew it too when he said, "His love in time past forbids me to think, in trouble at last here, leave me to sink. Thou hast been my help." He knew where his help had come from. It came from the Lord himself. "Thou hast been my help." He reminds the Lord how he has helped him. When most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Now much could be said about this, "Thou hast been my help." Are there not those things you can look back to where the Lord has helped you? Times of affliction, times of trial, times of difficulty, times of impossibilities, times when your soul felt it would sink into despair and the Lord has sweetly spoken to you or visited your soul. His help. And those helps you won't forget. The psalmist said in the following psalm, David said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped." He knew the helping hand of his God. But then, as he looks back, that enables him to plead further. "Leave me not, leave me not." One thing, you know, that the child of God so often fears, the Lord is going to leave them. "Leave me not." There may be many that do leave you. But oh, the vital thing is this, the Lord will never leave his dear people. We think of that sacred promise that the dear apostle spoke of when he wrote to the Hebrews in that closing sacred chapter 13. And what a blessed word it is, isn't it? He says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have." And then this sacred word, "For he hath said." And poor soul, what he has said will never return void. Oh no. There's a lot we say that all returns void, doesn't it? Because it's only us. But what he has said will never return void. "But he shall accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in the thing whereto he sent him. For he hath said, I will never leave thee." Oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor, troubled, tempted child of God tonight. "I will never leave thee." And when he tells you that, poor soul, he'll never leave you, he won't leave you. That doesn't mean to say you always feel his sweet presence with you, his helping hand as you desire. But once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. "I will never leave thee." I understand that in the original translation, the word "never" was included three times. The Lord saying, and oh, the preciousness of it, "I will never, never, never leave thee." Look how comprehensive that is, and how assuring it is to the child of God. nor forsake thee. So, dear David prays, leave me not, neither forsake me. When the Lord was to send Joshua forth to lead the children of Israel at the death of Moses, you know, the Lord spoke to him those very beautiful words, and we think of them in Deuteronomy, what Moses spoke to him concerning the great task that was before him, and then too in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. What did the Lord say to him through Moses? Moses was the messenger. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. And then again, how the Lord wonderfully confirmed it, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Neither forsake thee. Lord, we don't want thee to ever forsake us. We know this is all we deserve because of our sin, but neither forsake me. You know, men may forsake us. Our friends may forsake us. The hymn writer said, friends of friends and counselors bereft. But the Lord has promised not to forsake his dear children. But then he concludes it, what his God was to him. And I shall have to leave that for your meditation, but what a sacred conclusion. O God of my salvation. You see, all his salvation was in his God. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Salvation is of God. Dear Jonah sweetly set it forth, didn't he, when he came forth out of the fish's belly. Salvation is of the Lord. The children of Israel stood still to see it. O God of my salvation. This desire in our text was set forth by David before his God, the God of his salvation. O God of my salvation. Could you say that tonight? He's your God and the God of your salvation. Why do you desire to and do all? Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the word because the time is gone. And may the text be the fervent desire of each of our souls. And if it is, the Lord will sweetly answer it in his time, in his way. Amen.
Last Lord Day amounted to £580, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Dear Lord, to come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts, to bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little at a point, who forgive now what has been amiss. Wash the services of thy house in that precious fountain that's filled with blood. Take us each into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.